In a world where information of all types is so readily available, people are looking for the answers to life's most important questions, yet the darkness never seems to lift. We at Lighthouse believe that what the world is looking for is actually a person, not an idea. That person is Christ Jesus, not the Jesus in a bottle that grants your wishes, or the Jesus that is powerlessly sitting back wishing he could be part of your life. I'm talking about the Christ Jesus of the Scripture, who is Almighty God. He who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," and also said, "I am the light of the world." It is this Jesus that is only found through the narrow gate. It is he who has the power to dispel darkness. Join us now for the Light of the Word as we take a weekly expositional trip through the Scriptures. I'm your host, Pastor Eugene. So let's listen in to Pastor Jim as he opens the Epistle of James.
We bring you to the second half of last week's message. If you missed last week's message, you can find it on Sermon Audio under Light of the Word Radio. Let's open with prayer. Father, we just ask that as we come together and as we bring this message today, that you would be honored, that you would be glorified. Father, it is you who we seek to make much of. Lord, I pray that you would use the message as it was delivered for your glory, but you would use it, Lord, by your Spirit to move the hearts of the people who might hear this, that they would be moved to know you and to walk closer to you, to live in such a way, Father, that you and your light is seen in them. And we give you the honor and the glory as we go into this message. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. He's telling those religious leaders that with all that time that they spend in Scripture, they do not love God because they do not recognize Him. They do not have His Word in them. He says, you do not have His Word abiding in you because they were about themselves. He went on in the next chapter, chapter 6 of verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they will be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So who is it that actually comes to Jesus? The religious leaders that he was talking to wouldn't. Who is it that comes to Jesus? It is the ones who have been taught by his Father. Now we just looked at that on verse 18 of last week's message. In verse 18, he says that all of God that he calls those to be his children. He teaches the heart. He reveals in the heart the truth. I'm going to show you three reasons why people hear the word but don't hear it. This is something we were discussing in our Bible study yesterday morning, how in the book of Revelation and those letters to the churches, that each one closes with, if you have ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Start with John 8:37. I know that you are the offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. Just a few verses later in John 8:43, why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. And then a couple of verses later again in John 8:47, whoever is of God, hears the word of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Folks, I tell you, in the last 20 years, 20 plus years of ministry, I have been threatened. I have been called all sorts of names by people who didn't like the way I preached the Word of God. Why? Because it's God's Word that they don't like. I think of Vody, and I've been using this every week, but I think of Vody, and why would a man like Vody Bakum with those who believe and trust and follow after him and his teaching, why would he have to have a catchphrase that would say something to the effect that I am not the one who wrote the letter, I'm the deliverer, because he gets attacked. I think of some of the great teachers of the Word of God who truly sought out God's Word, God's truth. And I tell you, they're attacked on a regular basis. The John MacArthurs, the R.C. Sproul's, they're constantly under attack because as they bring truth, it offends those who call themselves religious. In that 18th verse, as I go back to it again for a second, we learn two things. First off, we're brought forth of His will by His Word in regeneration. That is the giving of a new heart to us as we hear the Word of God. There is an operation that takes place by the Holy Spirit that gives us a new heart. And in that operation, it opens the ears. So why can there be some who cannot hear? Because they do not belong to Him. Because they are still with the old heart. And then those who are brought forth in this way, these believers are the first fruits of His creatures. The first fruits. As we all know, we are brought forth by His Word of truth. The Apostle Paul says this to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. This is what the Word does. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The Word of God is itself the teacher, isn't it? By the Holy Spirit, in the regenerated heart, we can learn and we can grow. I think of all the years before God saved me, that from time to time I would spend much time in the Bible, but never understood it. It never took hold until I was regenerated. Once God had made and done a work in me, my life changed. My life changed because He changed me. So when James says at the beginning of verse 19, know this, that's what he's talking about. He's talking that you would know about this regeneration, that it comes from the Word, and it comes by the will of God. Not by the will of man, and not by your will, but by the will of God, he says. As he continues there in that 19th verse, he says, my beloved brothers. He is showing the love. We've talked all the way through this message so far about the fact that we are to go in grace and in love. And James is wanting to show them his love for them as he gives them guidance in their walk. Can you show love to a stranger? I believe so. I try to do that whenever I'm in the stores. I try to do that wherever I'm at. I sometimes, more often than I care for, fail at it. But I try to show love. I try to share with them from the heart. And as I do, I constantly try to bring that around to the Word of God. Because if I love somebody, what is the most important thing I can give them? Is it not the Word of God? Is it not the truth that can save their soul? Anything else I give them, if I gave them riches, which I don't have, that wouldn't save their soul. If I gave them things, stuff, that would not save their soul. I need to give them love. And by loving them, showing them the Word of God. This week in the pantry, we had a very busy week. I shared Christ with those who came through. One young lady was sharing Christ with. She was very afraid of the current situation. And as we talked, in her tears, she said, I want to be saved. And so we visited just a little longer, and she prayed a beautiful prayer. She prayed a beautiful prayer asking God to forgive her and to make her new and to change her. In the midst of all this, we can share love, can't we? And love is the Word of God. That's where it comes from. And so James is wanting them to see, he's showing them his love, my beloved brothers. Doesn't Paul use that term fairly often as well? I think it's a common term in the scriptures. Because that's how we are to act. If you act towards somebody without love, doesn't it repel you? Doesn't it repel them from you? I mean, if somebody comes and has something to say to you, and there is no love and no kindness that comes with love, doesn't that repel you? Aren't you done with that conversation? No matter what it might be? That's how we share the Word of God. We never share the Word of God in our arrogance or in pride. Because that goes back to what was said earlier. It's unfruitful. It's unfruitful. The man, the woman who goes to make disciples in their own pride and their own strength fails and is unfruitful. The reason so many who call themselves Christian do not love others is because when you love others, it allows you to be hurt, doesn't it? Who could hurt you more than somebody you have loved? So we naturally want to protect ourselves in the natural man. And so we hold back the love. We keep at arm's length. I don't know about you, but I'm sure thankful that Jesus Christ did not worry about who was going to hurt him, but poured out his love so that I could be saved, so that you could be saved. Now James gives us some simple truths or commands. But by the way, when we are in the Word of God, this is our picture of who God is. It does tell us ways that we're to live, right? But when it tells us about ways that we are to live or things that we are to teach, there's a reason for that that isn't us. The reason for that is that in us and through us, he would be seen. If we see the lifestyle that he says for us to live in his word, and we choose a different lifestyle, we are rejecting his word, we are rejecting him, and we are leading people astray. So this isn't suggestions of a good way to live. This is the Word of God, and this gives you the path of the narrow. And anything that doesn't match this is the wide path that leads to destruction. The Word of God reveals Almighty God. The Word of God teaches us how to live to reveal Him. It is not suggestions. So the first thing we see here in this 19th verse that I want us to look at before we get to the end is that we first must be quick to hear. He says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear." Who should be quick to hear? Every person, he says. But what James is really appealing to is for us to hear the Word of God. I have had many a Sunday school teacher or a Bible study teacher who have talked to me from other churches, even from this church, who said, you know, I've got this person in the class that I cannot teach my lesson because they always hijack the class. Have you been in a class that was that way? The teacher's trying to bring a lesson and somebody's hijacking it, taking it in a different way? Too often, we're not quick to listen. We're quick to speak. But James is appealing to us to shut our mouths and hear the Word of God. And it's not just the mouth and the noise that comes out of it. It's the noise that's in our head. When we have all sorts of thoughts going on of, well, as soon as church is out, I got to go do this. I wonder how this is happening. I wonder what's on the news with the coronavirus. All these things are going on in our head, and we're not hearing God's word. I'll tell you what happens. We walk out the door. We get in our car, and by the time we've had lunch, we don't remember for sure what was preached, what the Word of God said this morning. Or have you sat down to study God's Word, to read God's Word by yourself? And as you're reading it, you're thinking about all these different things. And as you're thinking about all these different things, you've just read two paragraphs, or maybe two pages, two chapters, and you think, what did I just read? I don't remember any of it. It's because our minds get busy, and we're not quick to hear. And what we do is we say, well, I've read that, and we mark it down as read, when we gained nothing from it. It has produced nothing in us. If we're going to nourish ourselves on God's Word, then we want it to produce something in us, don't we? We want it to produce Christ-likeness. We want it to produce glory to God. It is my full belief that the only way we glorify God is by seeing more of His glory. We've talked about this many times. To see more of His glory means that we know more about Him so that we can see more of His glory. Another way we glorify God is by taking His Word and Him using His Word in somebody else's life, that they are saved and they see His glory. That's how we glorify God, because He already has all the glory. So for us to glorify God, and we're commanded to do so, means that we need to see and know more of Him. And if you read two chapters of God's Word and you don't remember what you read immediately, have you grown? Have you gone forward? And I think this is a very common thing. We need to be quick to hear. We need to have ears, as we talked about earlier, to hear. But we need to be quick to hear. We need to be quiet, still in our hearts, still in our minds, and hear the Word of God. Now, I'm not suggesting that we don't weigh the Word of God that we are hearing against the truth of His Word. We should always do that, shouldn't we? I like what Chris read this morning out of Psalm 1. Those first two verses says, blessed is the man who walks in the counsel of the wicked. Who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Sorry about that. Changes it completely, doesn't it? Who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But hear the second verse. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on His law he meditates day and night. A true believer is marked by his feasting, his being nourished by God's Word, his paying attention to what the Spirit is teaching him as he goes through the Word of God. That's the marks of a true Christian. Somebody doesn't need me to tell them if they're a Christian or not, because I can't see what's in their heart, what's in their mind. But the Lord knows. He knows. If I weigh somebody and I believe that this person is professing to be a Christian is not, my job is to point them towards Christ, isn't it? To give them the gospel and to love them. But to be slow to speak instead of quick to speak. That's the second thing he says here. Be slow to speak. When it comes to God's Word, we don't need to be the one all the time to tell somebody else what it means. Don't you believe the Holy Spirit can teach? Don't you believe that that's where we are taught, is by the Holy Spirit? That the Holy Spirit of the true believer, when you read and you hear a text, you know something's there for you to have. I think of books that Cynthia's been looking at, and she'll say, this just isn't right. She hadn't figured out exactly what yet, but as she's reading, she knows that the teaching in those books are not right. And so she goes and she begins to search to see, what is it that is wrong? But it's the Holy Spirit that gives us that warning. But it's also the Holy Spirit that says, this is pleasing to the Lord. And a true believer will know when he hears from God. He will know. He'll spend the time in the Word. He'll spend the time reading it, studying it. He'll spend the time loving it. He'll spend the time in class. You know, there are teachers who teach Sunday school. There are preachers who preach on Sunday mornings who come ready to do those things without ever having cracked the Word of God. We need to be in the Word. That teaching a class or preaching a lesson would be second nature because the Word is so embedded and so saturated in our hearts and our minds that it has to come pouring out. We're to be slow to speak. Not taking over a class. But we are to come ready to receive the Word of God. On Sunday nights, sometimes or often in the past, we've had where it's kind of interaction with the preacher and the people who are here to listen in the congregation. And that's nice. But that's not Sunday morning, is it? On Sunday morning, we come to worship and to hear the Word of God. I had a man who lives down in Ark City who was considering coming to church here. And he asked me, he said, "Well, if I disagree with something that you teach, can I come to you later and talk to you about it?" I said, "Of course. I encourage anyone who hears me teach something that they disagree with to come to me. Let's sit down and let's look at it. Because either you're wrong, I'm wrong, or we're both wrong. Let's get to the truth." Slow to speak. You know, it's really easy to begin to defend ourselves. When someone says something against what we teach, it's easy to want to defend ourselves, but we can't. We got to go forward in what is right. As I continue, I thought of a story that I saw about a Roman orator. He was well known throughout Rome as a great speaker, and a young man came and asked if he would teach him to speak publicly. And the young man went on and on. In fact, he went on so much that the professor was unable to get a word in edgewise. And then finally the young man stops for a moment to ask, "How much would it cost to have you teach me to speak publicly?" And the professor, the orator, he said, "Well, I'll probably have to charge you double my regular fee." He said, "Why would you charge me double your regular fee?" He said, "Well, I have to teach you two skills. I have to teach you how to hold your tongue and then how to use it." We need to be slow to speak. Proverbs 17, verse 28 says, "Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed as intelligent." Proverbs 29, verse 20, "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." Proverbs 119, verse 11, "I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you." The tragic thing here is that when we are quick to speak and slow to listen, we do not receive the word of God, but we become more and more puffed up with ourselves, more prideful. We need to put things in the proper perspective. As we begin to wind this down, this third thing that he gives us as a command is to be slow to anger. Now, anger is a natural response, isn't it? When somebody says something or does something that we don't like, it's a natural response for us to become angry. But the anger that he's talking about here isn't the kind of anger that explodes and spits out all sorts of poison. That's a terrible thing, but that's not what he's talking about here. What he's talking about here is when we hear the Word of God and we hear the truth preached, and in our heart and in our soul, we begin to have this flame of anger that begins to smolder and to simmer. And pretty soon, we can't even look at that person because of the anger in our heart. He's saying, don't go there. Don't go there. Hear God's Word. Hear the truth. If you disagree with what's being spoken, in maturity, in Christ, in love, and in grace, you go to that speaker and say, I see it differently. Can we look at it together and do that. It helps both of you to grow. Also, the anger of man does not accomplish what is right before God. As this 20th verse says, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. It does not please God. We are to live a life in such a way that we are pleasing to God, that we do what is right before Him. Do you consider that before you speak? Do you consider, before you open your mouth in anger, is this right before God? It does not produce His righteousness. In fact, it is completely unfruitful. It brings nothing to Christ. Paul says in Ephesians 4:22-24, to put off the old self, which belongs to the former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in the true righteousness and holiness. This is the 21st verse, that we'll close on this verse. The 21st verse, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which does what? Which is able to save your souls. Implanted by who? It wasn't the doctor, was it? It was by the Holy Spirit. God implants His word in us as we read it, as we learn it, as we are nourished by it. But we are to put away that filthiness and that wickedness that we have. In fact, the idea here is like taking it off like a coat and getting rid of it. I have before spilt gasoline all over a coat before, and it stinks. And you take that off and you put it away because of the filthiness of the gasoline on it. That's what it's saying. We take it off, get rid of it. And it's saying we can. It's saying we can. So what we need to do, if we want to receive the Word of God, which is what this is about today, if we want to receive the Word of God and truly grow and glorify Him in it, then we need to do it in humility, getting rid of our pride, that's filthiness, getting rid of our arrogance, that's filthiness, getting rid of our position of authority over others, get rid of the wickedness that wants our own way, and in meekness and humility, be slow to speak and quick to listen to God's word. And if we will do that, we will grow in our fruitfulness. We will grow in our service to Him, and we will glorify His name. Amen. So I'm calling on you, I'm asking you, do you love God? Because if you do, it's time to turn to Him and away from you. It's time to turn to Him that He would be the one you serve. Because you're going to serve somebody, either yourself in sin and be bound to that sin, or you're going to serve the Lord and be fruitful. Please stand with me. Father God, as we close in prayer, Lord, I ask that You would speak and have spoken to the hearts of those who are here. And Father, that You have moved them, that they would desire Your word, desire You, the word, above all things. And we give You glory. We thank You, Lord, that we were able to meet today, and ask, Father, that You would allow us to continue. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.
The preceding message was delivered by Pastor Jim at Lighthouse Baptist Church in St. George. For more information, you can look them up at www.lighthousesbc.org.